we're checking in on local efforts to prepare for climate change in Monroe County. That's in the southwest portion of our state in the Driftless area. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. Over the past about a dozen years or so, Monroe County has experienced an increase in extreme rains. Severe flooding in 2018, it caused multiple dam failures. It was a wake-up call, and the county formed a climate change task force. How has climate change affected your community? Local leaders, how are you struggling to find ways to address severe weather events? Can you get buy-in on your plans? 800-642-1234. Bob McKeel is director of Monroe County Land Conservation Department. Bob, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks, Kate. It's great to be back and discuss the Monroe County Climate Change Task Force.
Well, take us back in time to the time when the task force formed. You know, dams break in 2018. This is a very severe situation. How did the county make that decision to tackle climate change?
Well, I would say it's an accumulation of storm damage over, I always go back to 2007. It seems like there's a continual pattern, at least in the southern portion of Monroe County on the Vernon County line. But this has been going on for a while. We've had at least 20-some events in the Driftless area, not all in Monroe County, that has affected us. If it doesn't hit a community with a large population, you probably don't hear about it. But there's still a lot of lives affected with these storm events. And so 2018 is the one that everybody saw nationally. A lot of communities affected, a lot of dams breached during that event. But really in 2019, we had the same trend three times again. Again, it didn't hit a large community, but there was some huge amount of damage to agriculture. And at that point, I knew we had to do something different. And working with the county administrator, county board chair, that's when we decided to form the Climate Change Task Force, assemble a team of experts, residents, landowners, unique groups, and come to the table and have this discussion.
Yeah, so it looks like you have 16 members on this task force. You meet once a month, is that right?
That's correct, once a month. And we also try to bring in expertise because climate change is, for the most part, there's more questions than answers. And so we're always trying to bring outside expertise in to educate us and steer us in directions of positive impact on the landscape.
And a lot of what you're doing is also gathering data, gathering information. Why is that data important for your long-term plan?
So the data collection that we're involved with is really about the rainfall intensity, collecting precipitation, trying to figure out what that intensity rate is, along with putting sensors in the streams. And these sensors monitor the depth on a 15-minute interval. And so we can kind of tie the precipitation intensity to what's happening to the streams. And we can determine what kind of reaction or how our conservation practices may be functioning or infrastructure is functioning to certain storm events. Along with the most important thing is we need to do a better job of warning the public to keep them out of harm's way.
Yeah, how do those hydrology numbers and those facts then inform how you talk with residents about this?
And so most of the residents, again, we've had a lot of events, so they know that this is an issue. And they're more than willing to participate and help us get to that point where we're getting more sensors on the landscape. We even have created a donation fund. We have quite a few residents that have contributed, businesses that have contributed dollars to these sensors, because it's all about information. You can't react without information and scientific information. So we're working on that end. We're also working with the National Weather Service. They're creating a southwestern hydraulic or hydrology monitoring page, so the public would have access to that beyond the warnings, so they can keep a pulse on the sensors that affect their watershed.
We're talking with Bob McKeel, director of Monroe County Land Conservation Department. He's a member of the county's Climate Change Task Force. You can join in. Have you seen climate change affect your community? What questions do you have about local solutions, local action? Join in at 800-642-1234. Bob, Governor Evers had included money in his budget proposal for exactly the kind of thing you're doing in Monroe County. It was stripped out by Republican lawmakers. So in not having that state support, how is Monroe County funding this work on climate change?
Unfortunately, it was struck out of the budget moving forward. I can vouch that it is easily a full-time position in a county to tackle this challenge. As far as Monroe County, how are we handling it? We are picking up the slack wherever we can get our professionals to step forward in Monroe County, and we have support of our county administrator and county board. So for instance, I have a land use planner, we have the zoning administrator, the forester. They're all coming forward, the GIS specialists contributing time to this effort, along with all the elected officials and other professionals coming to the table.
You're also talking with some homeowners who are in the floodway. Their homes are at risk. What is it like to talk with them about moving?
So we're fortunate enough to secure some grant funding through FEMA Hazard Mitigation Program, along with the DNR Municipal Flood Control Grant and Community Development Block Grant Program. So the focus or the target is these residents that are in the floodway, been subject to chronic flooding. Their house or basement will get flooded. For instance, in 2018, they get money to rebuild, get their home back up to what they remember, and it gets hit again the following year. So that's what we targeted, and really it's an easy sell when you can offer them dollars to buy them out so they can retain that value and go somewhere else, because it's when the thunder starts booming and the lightning and they know there's another storm event in the watershed, it gets pretty uneasy to go to sleep right next to a river or a stream that consistently hits your house. So we've got 8 or 9 homes that we're working with as far as demoing and removing from the floodplain and returning it to green space.
What is happening to your floodplains? Are they filling up with water?
So the floodplains, for the most part, over time, I would say before, you know, the last 10, 15 years, says humans have gotten comfortable occupying that area. So whether it's homes or infrastructure, agriculture, farming next to the stream. And what we're finding is nature is trying to reclaim that valley floor. It is flat for a reason. Water, it is to contain the water during these flood events. And so we need to recognize that and help people make better decisions in that corridor.
Bob McKeel is director of Monroe County Land Conservation Department, part of the county's Climate Change Task Force. We're discussing climate change, how one county, Monroe, in southwest Wisconsin is confronting it. How is your county dealing with this? Are your residents wondering how to handle repairing roads, bridges, relocating households out of floodplains? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a moment for more conversation on climate change here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're checking in on the work of Monroe County's Climate Change Task Force, the 16-member group. It meets once a month. They kicked off their climate readiness and rural economic opportunity assessment this month, an 8-month project to study the effects of climate change, make recommendations for what they call resiliency plans. Is your county studying the local effects of climate change? What have you learned? How has your community been affected by storms? Did a dam give way? What was that like? Join in 800-642-1234. Bob McKeel is the county's Land Conservation Department Director and on the Climate Change Task Force. He's with us for about 10 more minutes. Let's bring in Brett now, joining us from Norwalk. Hi, Brett. Go ahead.
Good morning. I had a comment and a question. Basing some of my suppositions off of the Alan Savory Institute, he has about a 20-minute TED Talk that would be able to share what I'm thinking a lot better than I can. But I just wondered, is there any discussion of financial economic encouragement of rotational grazing and some of the benefits of sequestering carbon in the soil, especially in an area like the Driftless in southern Monroe County, where we can get huge amounts of rain per year, but safely manage that in a grassland situation with rotational grazing?
Brett, thank you. What are your insights there, Bob?
Yes, that's a good point. And as far as this project that we're involved with Wisconsin Green Fire, we've broken it out into four sub-teams, and one of those is the agricultural sub-team, and that is to focus on what are our mitigation options or opportunities. And so rotational grazing or managed grazing is one of those as we move forward, just as long as, you know, the other parts are implementing buffer strips or native grasses or tree plantings, type of cover crops you're using in your rotation. But yes, grazing is one of those key components, and that will be a point where we need to get dollars out there to cost share to help landowners make those changes. So yes, good point.
And quantifying carbon credits, how would this help, with the climate change?
So again, there's more questions in the climate change world as far as carbon stocks and mitigating or sequestering carbon.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the one thing we need to learn in Wisconsin is what practices give us the most gain in agriculture as far as sequestering carbon. And we do have dollars or grant through the Department of Ag to actually put some demonstrations out there and learn from that and put numbers to it to quantify it. So by the end of next year, we're hopeful that we can share numbers and point the direction to what practices give us the most bang for our buck when it comes to climate change mitigation.
Well, let's look more closely at infrastructure. How are you working on upgrading roads, bridges, how infrastructure works in your county as you look at these severe rain events?
So our infrastructure, of course, is composed of municipalities from the towns. We have 24 townships. We have the county highway department and obviously the state highways. Our infrastructure in the southern part of the county is really taking a beating, specifically in the town level. The size of the structures, if they're perched, their condition is really getting hammered. And so we've had a discussion about how can we do an assessment or an inventory of all the crossings, which are culverts and bridges in the county, to rank them and put them in an order of climate resiliency or fish passage and condition, and get funding targeted to those worst case scenarios. So this year we actually have hired two interns that they'll be, their focus is to start that inventory assessment process in the southern part of the county and slowly work north, realizing we have over 1,700 crossings.
Wow.
In Monroe County that we have to evaluate.
Yeah, that's a lot. That'll be quite a bit of inventory for those interns, right, to tackle.
I haven't told them yet.
We're talking with Monroe County Land Conservation Department Director Bob McKeel. We're learning how the county is taking a proactive approach to climate change after severe flooding through the years. You can join in. Have you incurred flooding in recent years? Is that related to an infrastructure failure? How has the increased intensity of storms impacted your land, your home, your roads, your culverts? 800-642-1234. I'm wondering, Bob, Fort McCoy, the Army installation between Sparta and Tomah, is in Monroe County. How are you involving Fort McCoy in your planning?
Fort McCoy has always been a great partner for us at the county level, whether it's sharing ideas or information or labor, working on a stream project, so their natural resource department, along with plenty of information sharing between the county and the installation. But they are a partner sitting at the table in the Climate Change Task Force. So they're marching right with us. And they're also a part of the team with this Green Fire Project doing this assessment. So they're 60,000 acres of Monroe County's 580,000, and they're a key partner. So what we're doing, they'll be trying to implement at the installation as we go forward. So we're working without boundaries in the county, and we need to also look at our area. You know, Monroe County's leading this effort, but water travels through boundary municipal boundaries, it travels through watersheds, and everybody's affected. So that's the unique part. People are paying attention, people are participating, so which is great.
And when you say that the Green Fire Project, is this an advocacy group? How is it working in tandem with the Climate Change Task Force?
So the Wisconsin Green Fire is the expertise, or the
Okay.
retired a lot of DNR science world type people, the professionals that have collaborated, and we have a couple folks from the Wisconsin Green Fire that are leading the Monroe County Climate Readiness and Rural Economic Opportunity Assessment. They're coordinating this effort and bringing all this outside expertise. They're very good at networking and knowing who to specialize in certain areas related to the four sub-teams we have formed to address climate change.
Yeah, so they're kind of like your greater consultants as you go about this work.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to view it.
You know, Bob, climate change is happening. Your county believes that, but how fast can you move on adapting because you have all these objectives? Are your plans achievable in amount of time that you can avoid another crisis?
So our 10 objectives that we put together, there was 10 of them, and so the order is based on how quick we can implement or address that situation. And so the first and foremost was to alert and keep people out of harm's way, or the, out of the floodway. And we're doing that right now. Second, mitigate intense rain events on the landscape, manage the runoff. And the last one, which is the most difficult one, to change human behavior on the landscape to address the cause or climate change. And so the Green Fire Project is going to point all the arrows and offer opportunity and options to address climate change. We're doing everything we can to get to that point. And on the first three points that I talked about is, the warning systems, getting that out there, mitigate intense rain events on the landscape. And we can do that. We have the tools as conservationists to do that, along with managing runoff. At a certain point, though, some of these rain events, we can't design our way out of. They're too big of an event. So the best thing we can do is stay out of its way.
What have you learned by having so many different voices at the table and different priorities at the table?
I think the bottom line is for everybody that participates or questions or calls, that is interest and people acknowledging that there is a lot of change going on in the landscape. And so how do you harness that energy and make change? And that's the largest challenge because, like you said, there's a lot of different viewpoints coming to the table. So shaping that to make positive change is probably the hardest task that we're dealing with. But we're bringing in as many expertise or experts that we can help guide us and lead us through this change and start creating change for the positive.
Keith is with us from Toma. Hi, Keith, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I have my comment is that I feel that the emphasis is put on the lakes and the streams, whereas I believe the emphasis should be put on the actual watershed. Each watershed should be evaluated, and there's farming practices in Monroe County that's mostly soybean and corn, which does very little to retain water, maybe an inch of water, rainwater an hour. Whereas if you planted a root crop, you could advance that to maybe 20 inches an hour. Mm-hmm. So I think the problem is the source. The source is the farmer.
Keith, thank you. Bob, short on time, your thoughts?
Yep. So Keith brings up a good point. In agriculture, there's been a huge shift. And that shift is the loss of the dairy industry over the last 5 to 10 years. So with that, that hay that's that perennial crop in the rotation is now corn and beans. And then you pair that with the climate change symptoms of intense and heavy rains has increased the amount of erosion, severity of these storm events, and that runoff he was alluding to. So very good point, Keith.
Bob, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure and always willing to talk about Monroe County's efforts.
Bob McKeel, Director of Monroe County Land Conservation Department. Coming up, we talk with a UW-Madison economics professor who is proposing that the state outsource the work of the unemployment benefits system in some part in an effort to solve the problems plaguing how claims are processed. We'll talk about it after a news update on the Ideas Network.